Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. I wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody. Rated G Radio. It is Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and thrilled that you're here tonight to be part of the fun and festivities. We are possibly going to be having a couple of guests join the show tonight, and if not, I've got information to share with you anyway. However, if we have Carmen Church of the Foothills calling in a little bit to talk about their OC Pride booth this weekend, that would be really, really cool and exciting. And let's see here. I've got people already in the show going, I need help getting the link to the show because it's freezing up or doing this or doing that or doing something else as they're trying to get in. So I'm going to send out the link to Wesley in Georgia. I've also got Kurgan in Orange County, and we got a bunch of other folks who are sending me notes too tonight. So thanks for being here. As you get ready to go today, I don't know if you had a chance to check Facebook, as I tend to do, posting throughout the course of the day when opportunity presents itself. And I had the great fun of going to lunch today with the CEO and founder of Miles High Production, which is a media company here in Southern California, and they represent a host of artists, and they do media and social media types of advertising for people. Anyway, Chip is somebody who I've known for a better part of this year, and as any head of a major company, time is precious and time is valuable, so I'm always appreciative of the fact that, you know, he is always so generous with his time and words of wisdom that he shares with me. But we had a fun opportunity to have Thai food today. Of course, that's my go-to meal when I'm heading out. And up on Sunset Boulevard, we partook of a delicious, authentic Thai restaurant. And it was, and I say it was authentic because there was the one half of the menu that you would normally find, you know, pretty much everywhere, standard fare. And then you had the back half of the menu, which was I don't want to call it a separate menu, but it was a separate menu, and it was basically listed as here are all the, you know, traditional Thai dishes, and if it's too spicy, you can't send it back, and there will be no refunds. So you need to know about this ahead of time. And you know me, anytime I have a chance to have spicy food, I'm like, you know, I'm all over that. And so I asked the waiter when he came by, I said, you know, so how spicy is spicy? Because normally on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll ask for 15, you know, but this is scaring me. And I'm like, well, I'm willing to try it if you think I can do it. And the guy goes, if you like it normally spicy on a scale of 1 to 10 and you always say 10, I think you'll be fine. So we did that. It was really, really, really spicy and absolutely delicious. And really grateful to the fine folks. Let me get the name of the restaurant here. It was at the Jatilda Thai restaurant on Sunset Boulevard. I think it was like 5233 and a half. And it's in a tiny little strip mall, and just like a lot of the places, you know, up in that area, you'd never guess in a million years what you're going to get. And very, very lovely presentation of the food. Excellent quantity of the serving. It was enough that I could have a traditional lunch-sized serving and then actually bring some home to have a little snack before the show started tonight. So Jatilda, Thai restaurant up in Los Angeles on Sunset Boulevard. If you get a chance to go there, highly recommend it. Authentic Thai food, along with, you know, the I don't want to say traditional American Thai food, but the food that you're going to find at most Thai restaurants, but then they have the secret menu in the back half. And anytime you get a chance to order off of a secret menu, I think you absolutely should. Now, I say that, and of course, I'm not the least bit adventurous when it comes to ordering food, other than if it's spicy. I'd like it extra spicy. But you can order things on there, you know, like an oxtail something or other and, you know, things like that. As soon as I saw oxtail, I was like, oh, next, because I'm not going to do that. I've talked to people that have had oxtail before, and they think it is absolutely delicious. I think that's going to have to be, that will definitely have to be like a peer pressure type of a situation when I'm having lunch with somebody, and they're like, you've got to do this. I'm going to do it. You've got to do it. I would probably do it at that time. So with that, that was lunch today. But had a great conversation with Chip about things that are going on in the music business, some plans that he's got for new projects that he's working on. But I will also tell you, I came away with a big, huge pile of merchandise. I got autographed CDs from the group Heart. I've got Ron White's latest Blu-ray DVD. I've got Margot Ray's CD. I don't have the stack here in front of me. I gave it to Marcus, my roommate, before the show started. So I said, if you want to, take and listen to these, go ahead and do that before I put them in my computer here. But I've got a couple of upcoming guests that I was the first person to actually get the CD in North America today. So that was very, very cool. So a big thanks to Chip for doing that. I think one of the things that we also talked about doing, I say in the coming weeks, so we've got to work out kind of the details on how we're going to do this in the format, but I think we're also going to be doing like a Miles High Friday night dance party, because a lot of the folks that Chip and Karen represent over there are folks that have been on the show and continue to help support independent music locally and around the country, and if we can do that, I would love to do so. So we're going to do probably a night like once a month, something like that, where we showcase some of their artists and kind of like do a little bit of a show takeover from Miles High Productions. So again, big thanks to Chip there just really for taking time and being a good friend. And, people like that, they are few and far between, and when you get a chance to meet people, quality people like Chip is, they're folks that you want to hang out with all the time. But, you do that, and you're like, okay, it's like people say, I want to hang out with you all the time. Trust me, you don't want to hang out with me all the time. I'm great for lunch, or I'm great for an hour or two, but after that you're like, oh my gosh, Garrett is wearing thin on my nerves. That's why doing a show, for an hour a night, something like that, that's fine. Anita likes listening to the show for an hour a night, but if I hung out with Anita for 8 hours a day like I used to do back in the days of Oregon State Parks, she would probably lose her mind. So, Anita, you and I are probably both grateful that you don't have to spend all day with me any longer. And we'll be having Dave Talbot on the show next Tuesday night on August 12th to talk about his book, The Cabin. So super excited about that. We have also got Tracy Hall with a group called Project Independence. She's going to be coming on the show in a couple of weeks talking about a fundraising walk they do for folks down here in Orange County. And again, we've just signed Joseph Eade, who you'll see on Facebook with me from yesterday, and we're going to have him on the show on the 22nd. But in the meantime, we've got a great show tonight for you, and we're going to be doing, I think we're going to do some headlines here to get the show started. And, well, since we're going to be talking about OC Pride, Orange County Pride is going to be taking place this Saturday, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. until like 9 p.m., and I need to restate that. It's going to be from noon to 10 p.m. in downtown Santa Ana. It's going to be at the Orange County Imperial Court and OC Pride Festival. It's going to have the 2014 Mr., Miss, and Ms. OCIC Gay Pride crowning, hosted by Samantha Starr. And as I understand it, this year's festival is going to be celebrating with Saturday Night Live's Anna Gasteyer, which is really kind of cool. I would like to go just to see her, if nothing else. Heard her talking about that on the Frank DeCaro show like a month ago, and I totally forgot that she was going to be part of it. So that was kind of fun to see that today on Facebook. So you can go to facebook.com, Orange County Pride, like the page, and you can find out some more details there. And, there you go. So, did you hear that Sherry Shepherd's surrogate gave birth to a baby boy today? Probably the one person that didn't really care any longer is Miss Sherry herself. The former talk show host is reportedly seeking not to be responsible for the child because she claims her now estranged husband, Lamar Sally, defrauded her when she signed the surrogate documents. I think that whole thing is just kind of really, really weird. I don't know. Because there is so much more to this story than meets the eye. We are getting told a little bit. It's probably odd having people talk about all your business, and you've been happy about this, upcoming event for such a long period of time, and then all of a sudden, 6 weeks before everything's going to hit the fan, you say, We're getting divorced, and I want nothing to do with this baby. By the way, the baby has no biological connection to me, and so therefore you're not getting a penny of my money. What do you think about that? I don't know. If you want to lend your ear, it's 323-657-1493. I always think that's kind of interesting how those scenarios play out. This was interesting also. This goes back to the settlements that the banks made by, you know, doing all that nefarious stuff at the mortgage crisis. This is brand new in the last hour. Bank of America nears a $17 billion settlement over mortgages. The B of A and Justice Department have reached a tentative deal that would cost the bank nearly $17 billion to settle an investigation into its sale of toxic mortgage securities in the run-up to the financial crisis. That's according to people briefed on the matter. The latest eye-popping rebuke of a gigantic, giant bank. The agreement, which is not final and could still fall apart, would represent a record for the government. It would be the largest sum the Justice Department has ever extracted from a single company. The bank had agreed to pay roughly a $9 billion cash penalty to the U.S. Treasury last month. Citigroup agreed to pay a $4 billion penalty while providing the remaining money in the form of relief to struggling homeowners, the people briefed on the matter have said. Just a few weeks ago, the bank was offering only $3 billion in cash, a figure that temporarily caused talks to break down. So it's interesting today that now that number is triple. So you have to figure that, you know, somebody was going, you know, that $3 billion was really just kind of like a slap in the face. And, you know, the Justice Department's probably like, we want like $20 billion. So probably somewhere between 3 and 20. Nine sounds like a nice number. Back to the article, though. It says, a breakthrough came last week on a phone call between Attorney General Eric Holder and the bank's chief executive, Brian T. Monahan. One of the people have said, and of course, the article quotes this as one of the people and according to people briefed in the matter. You know, so there's your authority there. Earlier in the discussions, when the two sides were far apart, the Justice Department turned down a request for Mr. Moynihan to meet with Mr. Holder. Despite the huge penalty, critics contend that the government crackdown has amounted to little more than a slap on the wrist. That's what I kind of think, too. No Bank of America employee will face charges, and the case against the bank is civil rather than criminal. The settlement ends months of an on-again, off-again negotiations between the Justice Department and Bank of America, which has already paid more than $50 billion to settle lawsuits by private investors and regulators, largely related to its countrywide financial and Merrill Lynch units. The deal will bring a measure of closure to the bank as it concludes the largest remaining legal issue from the financial crisis. And during the talks, the bank had argued with federal prosecutors that it should not be penalized for mortgages that Countrywide and Merrill had sold before it agreed to buy those firms in 2008. In the case of Merrill, the bank argued that the federal regulators pressured it to go through with the acquisition. But that argument was significantly weakened last Wednesday when Judge Jed S. Rakoff of the Federal District Court of Manhattan ordered Bank of America to pay $1.3 billion for the sale of defective Countrywide mortgages, calling the scheme a brazen fraud. The Wall Street Journal earlier reported the news of the tentative deal. There you go. In technology news today, this is kind of cool, and then we're going to go take a break. Apple's iPhone 6 will have a faster Wi-Fi, improved fingerprint reader, A8 chip. It's confirmed. It's exclusive. Are you one of those people that updates their technology every time, you know, Apple blinks their eye? I used to be, and that just kind of stopped. When the iPhone first came out, I still had my whatever phone I had at the time. So I did not switch to the iPhone like everybody did. I was probably one of the last people to do it. When the iPad came out, I did not have one for a while, and I was quite fine not having an iPad. And then when I'd heard that I was able to do some of the moving stuff that I needed to do for my clients, I could do on the iPad. By that point, I kind of had it with the technology that I had on my little, you know, Palm Pilot phone, and raced down, got the iPad, and never looked back. And so with the iPad 1, that was wonderful. Thought the world, you know, the world's ills had been, you know, cleansed, cleaned, fixed. then came out the iPad 2, and I was like, well, this was so good, I need to get this one. And by the time I trade in the other one and this one, I deficit spended my way up until I got the iPad 4. Well, the iPad 4 is the longest that I've had any iPad, meaning I haven't dropped it and hasn't been broken or anything like that. And now with the iPad 5, I think that they call it the Air or something like that. I was just like, I think I'm done spending money on this for a while. It runs plenty fast for me. It takes reasonably good pictures. I think one of the reasons I chose not to upgrade the last time, besides the fact that I didn't want to spend the money, is that when I got the iPad 4, it took really brilliant, great, great, great photographs. I mean, stunningly great. The resolution was fantastic. And then on one of their updates, and I don't know which one, but it's been over a year, it changed the photographic capabilities of the iPad camera, and it turned to crap. It was terrible. And nobody at Apple can really explain to me what happened, and I can't go back, so I can't, kind of have it go back technology-wise just so I can take better pictures. And that's probably one reason why, I'm going out to events now. It used to be I'd just take my iPad and be like, snap, 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 snap. Oh, if it's not great, it's not great. It's not the best flash. But when they did the upgrade on the camera product, I was like, this is just not working for me. And so now when I'm going to the red carpet events, or I get invited any place, or when I go to lunch today like I did with Chip, or yesterday with Joseph Eid, I'm taking my big fancy Canon camera with a big flash, and it makes it look like I'm part of the paparazzi coming in wherever I go. I'm thinking, as life continues to just kind of move forward a little bit, that's probably what I'm going to be known for. Here's the guy that gets invited to these things, but he brings a big old fat, honking camera with him. Doesn't he know he's, just takes a selfie with his iPhone? I don't have an iPhone. I got rid of my iPhone. So as part of this technology changing and all of this, I decided I really wanted my life to be simpler, not more complex. I am not a doctor that cures cancer. I don't do open heart surgery. The service that I offer, while it's very important, is not usually time sensitive. Sometimes it can be, but it's usually not. Meaning, whether I respond in 5 minutes or, a half an hour, things probably aren't going to change dramatically. And also, in a cost savings move, I realized that I can now make phone calls when I have to. I hate talking on the phone. Love doing this radio show. Love talking to clients on my headset, on my phone, here at my desk. That's great. But whenever I had my cell phone for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years, I hated using it. I could never hear on it. I don't know. Maybe I just need a miracle ear. I don't know. I can hear on my phone. I can hear when it's on my Bluetooth in the car. All that's great. Couldn't ever hear on the phone. And when I got the iPhone, anytime I would put the phone anywhere close to my face, not even touching my head, mind you, either Siri would pop on, so I had to shut Siri off, or the phone would hang up. And it was kind of like one of those signs from God, when one door closes, another one opens. Well, that door kept closing every single time I would use the phone, and it just kept making me more and more frustrated, and I got more and more upset by paying my AT&T bill every month. And so I finally figured out a way on my iPad to make telephone calls. So if I have to make a phone call, I ported my cell phone number over to my iPad, and so off of Google Hangouts, free app, by the way, also Google Voice, you can now make free phone calls on your iPad. So I have a data plan on my iPad so I can, surf the Internet as I'm running around, download, my email and things like that. So my total out-of-pocket cost for my cell phone, which is now built into my iPad, is $30 a month. I think with tax it's like $31. I don't mind paying $31 a month. What I minded was paying $175 a month, which was what my bill was before I kind of bundled and desegregated and canceled and did all that kind of stuff. So I've gone from $175 a month down to $31. I think that extra $144 a month is very, very nice not to be spending on a phone. Plus, I don't ever now feel guilty about not having a cell phone, because if I really need to, technically I can put on my wireless headset that I got for $15 off of Amazon, and I can make calls on my Bluetooth headset off of my iPad, and it's great. Or I just simply have it plugged into the Bluetooth in my car, which really 99% of the time, if I'm going to make a call from my cell phone, which again is on my iPad for $31 a month, I'm doing it through the car, so I can, you know, hands-free, I can drive. In California, it's a crime. You get a ticket if they catch you talking on your phone, and you're not on a hands-free. So, killed all kinds of birds with one stone, and much happier for me. But that's also made me go, I also don't need to really update my iPad every single time something comes out. I digress, because that's really the whole point of this article, is that the new iPhone 6 is coming out. This information comes from VentureBeat.com today. And as anticipation builds in front of the announcement of the new iPhones this fall, yes, that's multiple phones. New details about the devices are emerging. As rumored, Apple will release two new phones this fall, one with a 4.7-inch screen and another with a large 5.5-inch screen. Reports Tuesday said Apple will announce the new phones at an event September 9th. However, the 4.7-inch model will be ready to ship mid-September, while the 5.5-inch is likely to ship several weeks or even a month later. Well, several weeks would be a month later. We've also heard rumors that the new screens will be made out of ultra-durable sapphire glass. Our source, this comes again from VentureBeat, our source says the screens are made of an extremely hard material that's slightly harder than Gorilla Glass, but not as hard as sapphire. That corroborates an earlier video report showing that the purported iPhone 6 screen is harder than previous model screens, but softer than sapphire crystal. And since that means nothing to me, I hope it means something to you tonight. Our source confirms that the upcoming iPhones will contain the new A8 chip. The A8 will run at a frequency of 2 GHz per core and will create noticeably faster response time and graphics rendering in the new phones. By comparison, the A7 chips in the iPhone 5 run at only 1.3 GHz per core, so it should be, you know, lots faster for you. The new phones will support a faster flavor of Wi-Fi. As in earlier iPhones, the Wi-Fi chip will come from Broadcom. Apple is said to have been working on its own Wi-Fi chip using a team of engineers that hired away from Texas Instruments, but the source believes Apple hasn't been able to get the kind of range and performance from its own chip that it needs. The cellular modem in the phone is the latest version of Qualcomm's MDM9X35. Memorize that. The source believes that this modem will remain in future generations of iPhones, at least until Verizon retires its CDMA technology. The new modem will support Category 6 LTE, which is a faster wireless technology that allows top speeds of 300 megabits per second. Do you remember, it wasn't that many years ago, that if we were able to dial a 9600 baud rate, I say this not many years ago, probably looking back at my calendar, it's probably 20, but we'd get the little AOL disk in the mail, and, you know, for like $8 million a month, AOL would let us have a fast connection up to like, you know, 9600 or 14.4, maybe 28.8. When we got to 56, we thought we'd lost our minds. Well, your phone is doing 300 megabits per second now. Very, very, very cool. Anyway, so we're going to have new, it doesn't say if we're going to have a new iPad. You know, I totally don't want a new iPad, but if they can get an iPad with like a 19-inch screen, I would be so on board with that. I think that would be absolutely, totally cool. And everybody's like, you know, I think that would be, that's just way too big, way too much. I don't know. What about a screen that would be like a roll-up? I've seen prototypes. This goes back a couple of years, but I've seen prototypes of computers that are kind of like, you know, you roll them up like a roll of, you know, paper towels or a roll of gift wrap or something like that. And when you, you know, want to do your stuff, you just kind of unroll it out, and magically there you go. What do you think about that? I don't know. Let's play a little Olivia Newton-John for Jay out of New York, who's listening tonight. We'll be right back. Trying to work out a little couple technical issues with Blog Talk during the musical break, so thanks for staying tuned for that. The person I had for calling in tonight, she said I might have another commitment, so we might. I'm going to say we might not be hearing from Carmen with Church of the Foothills. So they are planning to have a booth this Saturday at OC Pride, which is really kind of spring this whole thing. I'll kind of tell you how this all started. Was that we. Late last week, a couple of people had approached me and they said, we're going to be going to OC Pride this following Saturday, which is, of course, the 9th, and, I'm going to be there at this particular booth. And I said, oh, that's great. If your group would like some free advertisement, let me know who to talk to and we'll put them on the show and bring them on. And they wrote back the other day, and I was floored, and they said, we have to respectfully decline because we can't find anybody who wants to talk to you. And I kind of laughed, and I said, because I am such a hard-hitting interviewer. They said, they're all scared. And I said, I promise I won't bite hard. And they're like, we would love to. We just can't, we can't get anybody who wants to do this. And I said, you could call in. And they're like, I can't do it. And I said, okay, fine. And I just had to laugh. And they said, but please come by our booth this Saturday if you come to visit. And I'm like, okay, because that's all you had to say on the radio. We could have done that. So I was talking to my roommate Marcus, and I said, well, it's funny because I've never had anybody say no because they're scared to do this. Because I said, I really try to make this easy. And went through the scenario, and he goes, oh, well, my church is having a booth at the Pride event, and it's called, Church of the Foothills. And I said, well, if this other group doesn't want to call in, maybe we could get somebody from the church to do it. And he says, so we've been trying to figure out dates and times and all of that this week. And I said, if we can get them to call in on Wednesday or Thursday today or tomorrow, that would be awesome. So I thought we might have snagged Carmen for the call-in tonight, but that may not be the case. But anyhow, here's a little plug for Church of the Foothills. They are an open and affirming progressive Christian congregation. They are affiliated with two denominations, the Congregational United Church of Christ and the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And they, and get you a location for... if you want to go to their actual church. They're at 19211 Dodge Avenue at Newport in Santa Ana, 92705. Their phone number is 714-544-1319. And if you go to CHOTF, as in Frank, CHOTF.org, you can find out more information about the church and all kinds of things from education to music and preschool and groups and weddings and fellowships and sermons and, fun stuff like that. So if you want to go, do that. Had several people that are in the Orange County area tonight say, oh, my gosh, that's my church. I didn't even know. So now you know. I'm telling you. In professional wrestling news, this is always kind of, it's cool in a way, and of course it's kind of sleazy in a way because it is professional wrestling. However, I think it's kind of cool myself. So, amputee Purple Heart recipient makes pro wrestling debut. Chris Melendez lost a leg on the battlefield in Iraq. The war hero from East Harlem is now in for a different kind of fight, taking on the ring for TNA Impact Wrestling in New York this week. Melendez made his debut at the Manhattan Center on Tuesday night, last night, and it will air next month in September. He's the son of a Vietnam veteran, and inspired by the September 11th events, he joined the military at age 17 and was nearly at the end of a two-year stint when an IED explosion cost him his left leg. He says, "When I was able to open my eyes after the explosion, I looked across the battlefield to see what I thought was a fellow soldier in need of help, but he quickly realized it was his leg." Yikes! Melendez, who received a Purple Heart, is a fighter, and within 40 days, he was back up and walking with a prosthetic leg. His love for pro wrestling grew from his youth when he was introduced to the sport by his grandmother. He says, "The ability to captivate an audience without having to say words is what got me hooked," said Melendez, who has been training for 2 years. Melendez will not be the first person with one leg to wrestle. However, years ago, Zach Gowan had a short stint in the WWE. Gowan, who lost his leg to cancer, now wrestles on the independent circuit. He is also part of a tag team with Gregory Iron, who suffers from cerebral palsy. So, here's your little wrestling tie-in for the show here. We've had a couple of guests on the show that wrestle in Southern California. One of them I am now friends with on Facebook, John Gardner, and he plays a different character while in the ring, and he actually has cerebral palsy. So he gets out there and he acts as a manager, but he also is able to take certain kinds of bumps, you know, when you get dropped or thrown around, that type of thing, depending upon the circumstances. But it's all, you know, it's pre-planned, choreographed adult entertainment, but that doesn't mean you can't get hurt. So very, very cool to hear that he is out there. It looks like this guy is in terrific shape also, which is also kind of scary. I would not want to face him. But the thing with Zach Gowan, if anybody who's listening remembers professional wrestling from a few years ago, Zach Gowan, you know, he lost his leg to cancer, so he'd go out there. This is in one of the last times Hulk Hogan was with the WWE before he left and then was with TNA for several years. Zach Gowan got a little too big for his britches, as people tend to do if fame is thrust upon them quite quickly and at a young age, and apparently he did not deal very well with it behind the scenes because he ended up getting a very nasty reputation, and after the quote-unquote sympathy factor wore off for him, Zach was kindly invited not to return and to go find happiness somewhere else, meaning he was fired. So Zach is now leading a much different life than he was during that very short period of time. He was making big bank with the WWE, but we wish Chris Melendez all the success in the world that he can have if he's with TNA or wherever his wrestling travels may take him. Let's see here. We also have some celebrity birthdays today. We've got a lot of celebrity birthdays today. I had one on here, and where did she go? Here she is. Born this day, 103 years ago, Lucille Ball. It's her birthday. If she would have lived to be, you know, with us today, she would have been 103. So, if you know, I don't know. I loved the classic I Love Lucy show. The version that I remember, though, is when she worked with Mr. Mooney at the bank, because that was really the first version that I saw. That would play in Springfield, Oregon, when I'd go see my grandparents and during the summer, and my cousin David would have been up from Arizona. You know, because of my cool cousin David. He's still my cool cousin David, but, you know, back then when he was 8 and I was 6, or he was 6 and I was 4, or whatever the case is, we had the Lucy show, and, you know, she worked at the bank with Mr. Mooney, and, you know, it was just, that's how I remember my first memories of Lucille Ball. But it's her 103rd birthday today, so happy birthday. We've got a bunch of people having other birthdays, though. So we've got Jerry Halliwell. You'll remember her as Ginger Spice of the Spice Girls. She's 42 today. And the Spice Girls, of course, were known for hits like Wannabe. Before she was famous, she was a glamour model as well as a nightclub dancer before her career in music went mainstream. Little trivia note, she launched her solo career in 1998 with the debut album Schizophrenic featuring Bag It Up and Look at Me. I think Ginger Spice left the group thinking she was probably going to be bigger than she was, and kind of like the Bangles, Susanna Hoffs, P. people start telling you, you know, you're going to be the big darn deal, so why don't you get rid of the Bengals, or why don't you get rid of the Spice Girls, and, you know, you can go make all the money yourself, when sometimes really the get is the group. Same thing really kind of happened with Belinda Carlisle, except Belinda Carlisle really did have a good solo career for quite some time. Anyway, in Jerry's family life, she is the youngest of her siblings with a half-brother named Paul, a half-sister named Karen, and a brother named Max, and a sister named Natalie. Other members of the Spice Girls include Victoria Beckham, Melanie Janine Brown, Emma Lee Bunton, and Melanie Jane Chisholm. So happy 42nd birthday, Jerry Halliwell, Miss Ginger Spice. Also having birthdays today, Salil Mon Frye, remember her from Punky Brewster? Punky Brewster's 38 today and looking great. She also was in a series later on called Sabrina the Teenage Witch. She made her debut acting at age 6 in a TV movie, and she did the voice for Elmira's older sister in several episodes of the cartoon Tiny Toon Adventures. She married Jason Goldberg in 1998, and they welcomed their first daughter in 2005. And she was a childhood friend of Melissa Joan Hart and played her friend Roxy in the TV series Sabrina the Teenage Witch. So happy 38th birthday, Salil Mon Frye. Also having... these people look familiar, and I'm just like, I don't know who they are. How about this? We're going to do this for a soccer player. Robin Van Persie, he's 31, soccer star, striker, who joined the Manchester United in 2012 and was named the captain of the Dutch national team last year in 2013. He played on the Dutch side SBV Excelsior's youth squad from age 5 to 15 and won the KNVB Best Young Talent Award in 2002. He earned the Golden Boot Award for his 30 goals during the 2011-12 season with Arsenal and helped lead the Netherlands to a World Cup final match in 2010 where they lost to Spain. He married Boutra Van Persie in 2004, and the couple had a son named Shaquille and daughter named Dina together. That's interesting. Associated with in 2012, let's see, he scored a brace, which means two goals, in Manchester United's 2-1 victory over CFR Cluj. Both goals were assisted by Wayne Rooney, and Robin Van Persie is 31 today. Vera Farmiga, she's a movie actress. She's 41. She was nominated for an Academy Award for her role in Up in the Air and later starred in the action film Source Code. Her other notable films include The Departed and 15 Minutes. Before she was famous, the Ukrainian was first language learned in Ukraine, and she danced with the Ukrainian folk dancing group. That's kind of cool. 1998, she was in the movie Return to Paradise, which featured several stars, including Vince Vaughn, Anne Heche, and Joaquin Phoenix. She married actor Sebastian Roche, but the couple divorced in 2004. She later married and had a son with Ren Hockey. Vera, happy birthday to you. You are 41 today. And no relation to me, but Marissa Miller is 36. Looking at her, we, you know, could be related. It looks like we both have bleached blonde hair, allegedly. She's the Victoria's Secret model who's been featured in campaigns for companies like Nordstrom, J. Crew, and True Religion Jeans. She was discovered by walking through a cafe, then gained her fame by being featured on the cover of Perfect 10. In 2008, she became the first spokeswoman for Harley-Davidson in the company's 100-year history. She married her second husband, Griffin Guess, in 2006, and she appeared in the Maxim's Hot 100 with Scarlett Johansson in 2008. Marissa Miller is 36. Anybody else? I don't... Okay, Andy Warhol was also born this day. In 1928, we also have Robert Mitchum, born this day in 1917. I think that's good enough for celebrity birthdays. Don't you? I think so. But let's celebrate the birth of the United States with this one from Bruce. We'll be right back.
Born down in a dead man's
There's a little Bruce Springsteen and Born in the USA. Always love that song. So I saw this article a couple of days ago, and I've been waiting to bring this on and talk about it, but tonight seems like a good night to talk about it, and that's about who makes what in the land of Hollywood. And you have to kind of wonder what these people, you know, do when they don't make this kind of money. But Sandra Bullock, star, is, you know, the star stage, screen, everything, Chelsea Handler's intro from last season, she's Forbes' highest-paid actress on the actress list. For the last calendar year, she made $51 million. That's nearly $1 million a week. So you think that maybe she took a week off for vacation, so she really made $1 million a week for all of last year. As I understand it, and again, I don't have all the particulars, but as I understand it, she made around $15 million on the front end for Gravity, and then she, I think it was like she got 10 or 15% of first dollar gross for every dollar that Gravity actually made at the box office, and that means before you pay for like concessions and all that other kind of stuff. So she got a big chunk of money off of that as well. So when you have that kind of clout and you have that kind of agency representing you, take advantage of it. You'll be going all the way to the bank. Jennifer Lawrence, she made $34 million. Hunger Games also, of course, helped her out. Jennifer Aniston made a cool $31. Her big movie was We're the Millers. But I think she made a lot of money from doing all of the, you know, the water ads, and she's got that makeup out. So good for her. Gwyneth Paltrow made $19 million. Her Goop newsletter is good, but Iron Man 3 really paid off for her. I think the $19 million, when you consider the fact that probably about 18.5 of that goes towards paying for all of the expensive ingredients for everything that she lists in her recent cookbook, the poor girl probably needs to take out a loan. And number five, Angelina Jolie and Cameron Diaz tied. They each had $18 million last year. And for Angelina, you know, she's in the soup kitchen line because, you know, she's got 48 kids between her and Brad Pitt. Poor dear. And Cameron, you know, I think she's a smart one. She's just laughing all the way to the bank. So Maleficent brought money for Jolie, and while critics bashed the other woman, moviegoers showed up to see Diaz. There you go. So here's the rationale behind all this. To come up with the earnings estimates, Forbes talked to agents, producers, lawyers, and showbiz insiders to determine how much each Sally earned from entertainment-related work during the 12-month period from June 13 to 14. But please note, Forbes says women are still earning less than men in Hollywood as a comparative tool for you. Robert Downey Jr. topped the men's list with a $75 million payday for the last year, and in total, top-earning actors brought in a combined $419 million, while the top 10 actresses brought in just a little over half of that, $226 million. So there you go, everybody. If you want to make the big money, you got to be Sandra Bullock or star in Iron Man, and then you can be Gwyneth Paltrow or Robert Downey Jr. and take in all kinds of money. That's always a great thing to be. I don't get that at all. Are you going to go see Teenage Ninja Turtles? I am not, but that seems to be one of the big movies that is going to be coming out for the summer. And there's a big stir this last week that they had. Australia had promoted the launch of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out in, you know, Australia. Apparently, they were going to do this on 9/11, and the movie poster in Australia only showed the turtles diving out of a building being blown up. Now, of course, I guess at any other time, any other, probably wouldn't have been a big deal, but because it was on 9/11 and the turtles were diving out of a building that's being blown up, apparently that caused quite the stir very quickly, and the group responsible for that in Australia quickly took it down and apologized profusely and, I guess, came up with some other ads for that, but I thought that was kind of interesting to hear. Anyway, you know the only reason they're remaking that is because they can do more stuff with special effects now, and they just want to, you know, go back to the bank. I don't blame them. I could do that, too, if I could. Mark Cuban is bringing back X Factor UK to the United States. Simon Cowell's coming our way again. Mark Cuban's AXS TV has just announced that it will be the official U.S. broadcast home for Season 11 of The X Factor UK. Our own version of The X Factor was canceled in February after three seasons. The channel signed a deal with Fremantle Media International and Syco Entertainment to bring the flagship version of the Simon Cowell singing competition to the United States for the first time ever. A new Papa Simon Cowell will be returning to the panel for the first time in 3 years. Cowell tells Dan Rather in a chat airing on Access TV, the big interview on August 25th. He says it'll be exactly what you'd expect. Joining him at the judges' table will be former Spice Girl and America's Got Talent judge Mel B, UK pop singer Cheryl Fernandez-Vershini, and music manager Lewis Walsh. We'll also get to know host Dermot O'Leary. The X Factor UK contestants compete in two sets of audition rounds taking place in Manchester, London, Newcastle, Edinburgh. And Access TV will air all 34 episodes of the series, beginning with those open audition shows in addition to special boot camp installments. Look for the X Factor UK to air on Access TV Sundays and Mondays starting August 31st at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. It's 24 hours after the respective UK broadcast. Each program will re-air the same night after the first broadcast. So that's kind of what's going on in the world of entertainment, at least today. Hope you're going to have a great night. We'll be back live tomorrow for another Rated G Radio. So in the meantime, enjoy a little Fran Jolie. We'll be back live on Thursday.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.